Blog Talk Radio.
NFL picks this week. We're going to talk some basketball, college and pros, some NFL football, some boxing with some Canelo news. He gives up his WBO title. I want to get some feedback from Ice on that and why he's doing that. Of course, we lost two legendary coaches in football. Coach Herman Boone, who was probably his character and story was made famous by Denzel Washington with Remember the Titans, and then Hayden Fry, legendary coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes, who passed away today. I think Hayden Fry was 90 years old, and Coach Herman Boone was 84 years old. Then we'll get some questions that we've been wanting to ask all week, and answer those. How you doing, Ice? You there, Ice?
I'm here, man. I'm just messing with you, bro. How you doing?
Always messing with me. I'm doing fine. Catch the first 40 where Ice tricks me into an argument about James Harden and the Greek Freak later on YouTube. Always picking off. Any other stories, man, overlapping from the first 40, man, that you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about Milwaukee. No, I'm just playing. I think perhaps very quickly the situation in Cleveland with the Cleveland Browns. I think that would be interesting to kind of drum up a few more nuggets about that if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead, I'll let you start.
Yeah, no, I mean, just from the standpoint of looking at it, see how this breaks down. We talked about earlier in the 40. About what the issue is and what the issues are and how this plays out. What are they going to do? You keep the coach again. Question is, do you bring back the full staff and are you going to expect different results from the same staff? Something has to change, and I think that's what people need to look at. And then the question is, you're going to bring back the same players, or are you going to make some adjustments from the standpoint of you're kind of locked in to certain players, but if something doesn't move, then you still have to figure out what the issues are. So something has to change. It just does, because I think you keep coming with the same situation, with the same staff, same talent, and the same approach, you're going to get the same results.
Yeah. I remember when they ran Tyrod Taylor out of town, say he couldn't quarterback. I mean, they just ran him out of town, team quit playing for him. I remember they fired their coach, who they went on a long losing streak, and then he won a couple of games, and then he was fired. He was let go. But I said when they grabbed Odell Beckham, what makes you think Odell Beckham's going to bring you a Super Bowl? What has he done with the Giants? I've been watching the Giants nearly all my life. I saw Odell Beckham, and to me, he's a talented player, but he really hasn't proven himself. as being one of those elite receivers that's a game changer. And he did not do that with the Giants. If he would have done that with the Giants, he'd still be there. But he didn't. The Giants let him go. So he went over to Cleveland. And Cleveland and everybody in the media, I remember watching all the media outlets saying, whatever stats they're putting up and they put into a machine, Cleveland's going to win the Super Bowl this year. Or they are the favorites to win the Super Bowl this year. And I'm like, wait a minute. I don't even think they're going to win that division. The AFC, the AFC division that they're in, they're not going to win that division. So what makes you think they're going to win a Super Bowl? So you get Odell Beckham, you get Landry, you got Garrett over there, and then we started seeing from game one how undisciplined they were. You got Chubb over there, running back. You got all this talent, and you start seeing how undisciplined they were, erratic, and that to me, and I said earlier in the season, that is a reflection of the coach. I said that. And you said, I remember saying, we're going to see, it's one thing to be standing next to the man, but now you're the man as the coach. What you going to do? And so somebody said it on ESPN. I forget who said it, but I always think this, and I say it in my discussions with folks offline, that there are two reasons why teams lose, either lack of talent or bad coaching. Cleveland got the talent. They have the talent. Because if you put a good coach there, put Belichick there. Do you think Cleveland would have the record they would have now? No. Put any good coach there. Put Riverboat Ron there. Do you think Cleveland would have the record they would have now? No. It's the coach. And I was like, he makes bad decisions. He doesn't know what to do. And I said it earlier, and I remember me and Black having this discussion. I think the coach is in over his head. Based on what I've seen this year, what Cleveland has done, the play calling, how they manage certain things, I think he's in over his head. And just like you said earlier, it's one thing to be standing next to the man, but now when you're the man, what you going to do? And he hasn't proven to me that he could do what he needs to do to get this team to a playoff, let alone – because I said earlier this year before the season started, I don't even think Cleveland's going to make the playoff. And everybody that heard the show, like, oh, man, you crazy – they got, Odell Beckham. They got this. They got that. I'm like, yeah, but they got to play together. And now people are talking about ice that Odell took time off, didn't come into training camp. How much did that affect the Cleveland not winning and him not getting the ball, not building chemistry on the team? So there's going to be a lot of finger pointing after this season is over with. But I think Cleveland really has to come to terms with, okay, we have talented players. How can we get somebody that is the leader of this team, as far as coach, to get these players to play up to their talent so that they can make some moves in Cleveland? Because it's just not happening. And what really kind of helped me kind of understand how desperate Cleveland fans are, you're not a Cleveland fan, but a couple of weeks ago you texted me and was like, you know what, I've given up on Cleveland. I can imagine Cleveland fans are like, what else do we do? Is this a snake-bitten franchise? Your thoughts?
No, they've been waiting so long. It's almost worse than the Cleveland Cavaliers at that point. But mm-hmm. You at least had LeBron. And no matter what they do, you brought in the general manager now, came over from Kansas City, seems to see going in the right direction. But as far as the head coach, I think that's probably one of the major boo-boos that he's made since he's been there. That's the only one I can really see, because it's one thing, as you said, to be a coordinator. There's nothing to be the head coach, because you're in charge of the whole team. And with that being said, the coach has to be able to work both sides. And I think you're asking a lot. Everybody's not made for that. I think he perhaps should have stayed as a coordinator or focus on one area, the offense, and let somebody else do something. When you're the head coach, you are, again, the head coach, which means it takes you away from what your focus was when you were primarily spent a lot of time with Baker Mayfield. You can't do that anymore, because your time is taken up by other aspects of the team. I think they need to really look at it. I understand that they're talking about bringing him back to coach, but it's gonna be rough. They're gonna have to figure this out. Maybe do it one more year, and they go, okay, 2 years is enough. But my question is the fan base going to put up with this BS with them losing again with all these high-priced NFL players and players literally going to the other bench allegedly saying, get me out of here, like they quit on their team? Who the hell does that?
Yeah.
Who the hell does that?
Yeah. Another thing you mentioned in the first 40, man, is about Baker Mayfield and him kind of calling out people. To me, he hasn't earned the right. I don't think he's the leader of that team. He hasn't earned the right. Just because you're the quarterback doesn't make you the leader of the team. Like, that probably went well at Oklahoma, where he was, you know, the upperclassman, and, you know, he's directing, he's the man there. But I can see a lot of players on that team that's been in the league longer than him saying, you know, who the hell are you? You haven't proven yourself. But yet you see him in every commercial. You see him, you know, with the microphones in his face at the end of the game. And this attitude, like, he's been in the league for 10 years, and he's earned his status. He hasn't done a damn thing. So I can see why some of the receivers are saying, you know, I'm not getting the ball. This guy probably doesn't know the offense, or he's kind of out there winging it. And this is one of the reasons why our offense is not flowing, or maybe he's changing calls. Maybe he's doing something that flourished in college, but when you're playing big ball, big boy ball, it's not working. And so I can see some of the players on the team going, you know what? Nah, this dude ain't it. Or I'm not running these routes. Or I ain't playing as hard because this guy is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Or you're not throwing the ball where it should be going. It's not my route running. It's you. But what do you think about – I call him Faker Mayfield because – I didn't think he should have won the Heisman, but he was the quarterback at Oklahoma. I was throwing the ball all around the place and running around, touchdowns. Everybody wanted to see him. But now you're playing big boy ball, and now you're being exposed. Because if you can't get that ball out within 3 seconds, he's done, unless he can run around a little bit. And teams have figured out that we're not going to let you run around. But I was not surprised at Arizona. As a matter of fact, last week I picked Arizona to beat Cleveland because – I didn't think between him and Tyler Murray, give me Tyler Murray all day long.
Yeah, it's I think part of it too is said in the 40 that to go around and start to poke your chest out and point fingers and telling people that you're the leader, what they need to be doing is one thing, but you don't have the performance to back it up, says another. And that's what I think is happening with Baker Mayfield. And to complicate matters even more is the factor that his coach is not backing him up, putting him in a position to make plays. That's what it appears to be, too. So that means that's a double whammy he's facing as well. So you're telling these guys what they need to do, and they're on that next level or have been on that level, and you just simply have not been able to perform. You did that last. You did great last season, or you did better than most with subpar players. And I find it ironic, though. Now you know what Tyrod Taylor feels like when the guys didn't come play for him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talks about that. I said that from the beginning. I said that when they're playing harder for Baker Mayfield last year, they're not doing that so much this year, maybe because it's a different cast. The other part of that too is, as you mentioned, I remember years ago watching the Cincinnati Bengals, and Jeff Blake was the quarterback. He gets hurt, and he has to go out. And also Carl Pickens, who was the main wide receiver, one got hurt. And Boomer Esiason was the wide receiver. I mean, not suddenly wide receiver. He is the substitute, the backup quarterback. And when Carl Pickens went out, Darnay Scott was the backup. And Darnay Scott never really seemed to be what he wanted to be, a number one receiver. And at that time, that load was on him to take over for Carl Pickens. And Boomer Esiason came out and told him, look, you have to catch the ball. I'm throwing you the ball. If I had to hit you in your damn head, you got to step up now. And that's what he said. But he didn't say that. My point here is, if you're going to bark at people, you have to be able to deliver the ball and put the ball where they can make plays. So there are no more excuses that can be pointed towards you because of your performance. You have to do that.
Right.
And Baker Mayfield's not doing that. So, and then, when again, when your coach has not devised a strategy or a plan to make you successful so you can deliver the ball in such a manner, you're going to be the guy that everybody's going to consider a scapegoat. Because Landry and Odell Beckham will say, if I can get the damn ball, that's what they're saying. You can't give me the ball. But Baker's doing
and Odell Beckham. Yeah, I mean,
commercial.
Got some nice commercials. They're funny, but you ain't earned anything. You're gonna be a joke. You're gonna be a joke. And Odell Beckham, I don't think the Steelers need you. They got rid of their problem. They got rid of Anthony Brown. They got rid of Le'Veon Bell. You know, Ben Roethlisberger has been very quiet because he ain't getting on the field. He's a very quiet. You haven't heard a peep out of him. They're getting rid of their problems. They can't afford another problem. They need receivers, but just like the CBS article said, Pittsburgh are known to get receivers deep in the draft. They don't need prima donnas and divas. They don't. They don't. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. You didn't want to be with the Giants. The Giants didn't really want you because you were a prima donna. Now you're in Cleveland. Now you're in Cleveland. As they call it, the mistake by the lake. Okay, and now you're probably stuck there, bro. You're probably stuck there. And I don't know what they're going to do for a quarterback, but you remember the Arizona coach last year, the brother who got fired? Why isn't the Cleveland coach getting fired? With all the talent you had, why aren't you getting fired? And didn't have as much experience as the brother in Arizona. And so I got my theory on that, but we're going to move on. Let's talk about our picks. Last week, man, I mean, we're coming close. I'm expecting Black, because he picked his picks and sent them to me, but he ain't making no home run swings with his pick. But last week, me and Pop came in first and second. I think we had 12 wins. Black and Ice tied with, I think, a 10-6 record. And they're still – I mean, you're still holding on to that one lead, one game lead against Black. I don't know how it's going to go this week, but we only got a couple of weeks left. Are you guys going to end up tied, or are you going to end up kind of switching spots? We don't know. So I have a 153-70 record with one tie. Pop has a 145 record with 78 losses, one tie. Ice Water is in third with 134 wins. 89 losses and one tie. I'm sounding like I'm announcing a fight. And Black is coming in, bringing up the rear with 133 wins, 90 losses, and one tie. Yeah, only a couple of weeks left, man. After this week, the pick order is I'm going first, Black is going second, Ice is going third, and Pop is picking last. So without any further ado, who you with, and let me play some Prince while we're doing our picks. All right, Ice. First game on tap, and there are no Thursday games, so first game on tap is, there are, I think, four Saturday games, and it's Houston against Tampa Bay. I'm going with Houston. I see what Jameis is doing, but if you make those mistakes against Houston, I think Houston can kind of put you into a hole that you can't get out of. Pop is going with Black Thor is going with Tampa Bay. Who you got, Ice?
Mike Evans, man, is out for the season. Rashard Perryman was in there. He was hurt. He caught three touchdowns and was the main go-to guy for Jameis Winston last week. And he had to lead the game in the third quarter because of hamstring problems. Jameis throwing that rock, man. 456 and some change and four touchdowns or whatever. Dude, he is throwing that rock. And he's a hell of a fantasy player, but Houston cannot afford to lose this game. I can't do it. I got to go with Houston and over Tampa Bay. Houston on the road.
All right. Yep, Pop is going with Houston on the road, too. Yeah, I just can't see Houston. To me, yeah, you're right. I don't think they can afford to lose this game and slip in any way in this playoff run with the AFC. It is tight. It is real tight. And like I said, Tampa, Winston will make a lot of bonehead plays. I don't think he can, you can kind of do that with Houston. They'll make you pay for it. Next game on tap, and this is going to be a tight game too. Buffalo versus New England. You're at Foxborough. I'm going with New England. I got a feeling New England's going to try to put Buffalo in their place because Buffalo just clinched the playoff spot. They're kind of feeling good, smelling themselves. But, you know, the old dog, the big dog on the porch, coming off that porch, I think New England does it this week. Black Thor is going with New England also. Ice, who you got?
Man, this is tough because I think Buffalo is really making strides. I really do. But, wow, and they have a hell of a defense. Man. Woo! Which one is it, baby? Which is going to be? find a way, man. I really want to choose Buffalo, but they won a big game last week. Brady's going to find a way. He always does in New England, and they probably get a couple calls. New England.
they had a call last week. They didn't get the call, and I was like, what? I looked outside to see if, you know, it was frozen outside because usually – New England will get the benefit of the doubt, but it was a touchdown that wasn't called a touchdown. And I was like, wow, okay. Pappas is going with New England, so it's New England across the board. You got the Los Angeles Rams. Just when you think, I said in the first word, just when you think the Los Angeles Rams are turning the corner, they got doughblowed by Dallas on Sunday night. They're going against San Francisco. I'm going with San Francisco. I think San Francisco will bounce back from that loss against Atlanta, that last-second loss against Atlanta. Black Thor is going with San Francisco also. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, they're gonna unleash that defense on the Rams. So Goff is going to be running for his life, and they finally starting to try to get that ball back to Gurley, but it might be a little too late. I think San Francisco is going to rebound. I'm going with San Francisco.
All right. It's San Francisco across the board. Pop is going with the home team. This should be a game that I really don't want to watch, but I think Eli's going to be playing in this game to get himself above 500. And what better team to do it is against Washington. New York Giants versus Washington. I'm going with the New York Giants in this game. Black is going with the New York Giants in this game. Who you got, Ice?
I would love to go with Washington simply because of the Ohio State connections. But I think they said Daniel Jones got that walking boot off as well. I think he might be playing this week. So Eli might start.
Do you actually think
Daniel
they would put him in?
Why, you trying to win or you just try, what you trying to do?
They're trying to get Eli a winning record in New York, man. For his legacy.
Well, but then he can start. But you got to win the game. So if you start, you got some issues, and you put Daniel Jones in. Anyway, regardless of the fact, I'm going with the Giants.
All right. Papa's going with Washington. So we will see. Next game on tap, New Orleans. Drew Brees breaks Peyton's record last week on Monday night against Indianapolis. They're going against Tennessee. I'm going with Tennessee at home. Black Thor is going with New Orleans. Ice Water, who you got?
Yeah, it's a tough game. Tennessee's been playing real well with Tannehill playing strong. New Orleans has to make a statement at some point. They have to say we're good enough and we're a better team. And I think their defense is going to kind of fly up for them a little bit. And I'm going to choose New Orleans on the road.
All right. And Pop is going with New Orleans also. Next game on tap is Baltimore against Cleveland. We just talked about Cleveland. Got to go with Baltimore at this particular point, man. No team is stopping them, and they haven't stopped them. They're on, like, I think, a 10-game winning streak or 11-game winning streak. Just rolling on, folks. Black Thor is going with Baltimore. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, Cleveland's not. They played pretty decent the first time. They want to happen this game. It's going to be a revenge factor. I want to go with Baltimore on the road.
All right. Pop is going with Baltimore also with Lamar Jackson. So it's Baltimore across the board. We have next on tap is Carolina versus Indianapolis. I'm going with Indianapolis at home. Carolina has not been the same. They got rid of Riverboat Ron, but they still haven't figured out, to me, what their identity is going to be, and this team is on the rebound. So Black Door is going with Carolina. Who are you going with, Ice?
Yeah, it's been up and down. I think they're playing musical chairs with the quarterbacks right now, too, in regards to who they're starting. So I don't think this quarterback was Allen. I don't think he's starting this week. So Indianapolis finds a way. I know they struggled a little bit in the past, but Brissett, they need this game very desperately. So Indianapolis.
Okay. And, Pop is going with Indianapolis also. Next game on tap is Cincinnati versus Miami. Miami is at home, but I'm going with the road dog, Cincinnati. Black Thor is going with Miami. Who you got, Ice?
Wow, crazy game. Fitz Magic versus tragic Andy Dalton. Anyway, I think it's going to be warm, and I think they're going to wake up and get that ball to Joe Mixon like they're supposed to. I'm going to go with the Bengals on the road. First time I've ever picked them all freaking year. Bengals.
Wow. That is right. That is right. Do you think they'll get Joe Burrow?
But is that what they need? If they still don't block,
yeah, that's
they don't
true.
Have anything else. Is that what they need? They need – I mean, I can see myself looking at a run at being that defensive end or from Ohio State or maybe another defensive player somewhere else. I don't know. Is Joe Burrow the answer for the Bengals?
Yeah, because Burrow, he wants to come home. He wants to come home to Ohio, and he's made it – it seems like he's making it clear that he wants to go home to Ohio. Maybe this is what Cincinnati needs with other draft picks and given with Andy Dalton. It's not working out in Cincinnati, so, you know, who's to say? Pop is going with Cincinnati also, but I just threw that out there because, of course, he won the Heisman last week, and Boomer Esiason is trying to politic his way into Cincinnati, giving him a Cincinnati Bengals helmet on Sunday morning. So, hey, it may be in the cards where Cincinnati makes a big splash and gets the Heisman Trophy one. We'll see. Next game on tap, Pittsburgh versus the New York Jets. I'm going with Pittsburgh, even though they disappointed me against Buffalo last week with Hodges not really playing his best. Mike Tomlin is saying, hey, we got to look at the tape and get ready for next week and come out balling. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, the road dog against the Jets. Black Thor is going with Pittsburgh also. Ice, who you got?
And the Jets have been abysmal on offense except when they played Dallas. But Pittsburgh is going to be angry. It's going to be a nasty, ugly game, and I think they're going to get their revenge. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I thought Pittsburgh should have won that game, but they just couldn't execute in key moments of the game that just really took them out. Pop is going with Pittsburgh. Calling them sorry jokers. That's what he called them today. But he's going to go with them sorry jokers in Pittsburgh. This week is Pittsburgh across the board. Jacksonville versus Atlanta. What has happened to Atlanta? I'll tell you what happened to Atlanta. They had a come to Jesus meeting and figured out that a lot of folks weren't going to be there and they weren't playing better. So these guys are playing for their job. So they're at home against Jacksonville. I know Jacksonville came back against Oakland, but Atlanta is playing inspired football, and they just upset the team that is favored in the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers. I got to go with ATL on this one. Black is going with Jacksonville. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, Jacksonville's tried, but Fournette has not lived up to expectations, unfortunately. Key thing here is, I don't know why, but Matt Ryan, they lost Calvin Ridley, I think, for the season. So that means Julio Jones is now the main target along with the tight end. So I think Atlanta's going to get it back. So they're at home. I think Atlanta wins that game.
All right. Pop is going with Atlanta also. So the Falcons for me, Pop, and Ice, and Black is the only one going for Jacksonville. Next game on tap, the Oakland Raiders against the Los Angeles Chargers. Oakland, their fans booed them off the field, and their owner said, you know, I don't care. We're on our way to Vegas anyway. that's not a great way to kind of treat your fans that have been loyal to you, and they didn't have to be. And so this is why I kind of put down my Raiders jerseys for a while. But if you check on the first 40, Ice has a nice Raider jersey of Jack Tatum. I want that jersey. Anywho, in black. Anywho, with the stick'em. I got to go with the Chargers in this one, man. I got to go with the Chargers. Oakland had this shot, just like you said, in the first 40. They couldn't deliver. They could have beat Jacksonville and still been in the hunt for the playoffs. Showed me that they didn't want it. They're punching their ticket to go into Vegas. Black Thor is going with the Chargers also. I'm going with the Chargers. I don't feel good about Rivers, but I got to go with the Chargers. I think that they're better than the Raiders at this particular point, especially in Los Angeles. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, it's tough. I like to say the Raiders because I love their tight end, but I know it's up and down. I'm gonna go with I don't know why the sidearm Billy Billy Rivers. I'm gonna go with the Chargers. I don't know why, but I think because of their defense. So and it's in L.A. Both teams live and play in L.A. Anyway, Chargers.
You got that Boulder connection with the on defense, but. But yeah, Pop is going with the Chargers too. It just seems like, and I couldn't believe that you didn't know that Rivers threw sidearm all this time.
No, I didn't. I promise you, I didn't. I didn't. It was ugly to see,
okay.
And maybe I had not paid attention. Maybe it got worse since he's been playing because he looked like a bad imitation of Bernie Kosar.
Yeah, I mean, he's always had that sidearm. Always, since I can remember. Always had the sidearm. Next game on tap is Detroit versus Denver. I'm going with Denver. I'm going with the home team. Not going to pick Detroit probably the rest of the season. They're pretty much done. Why that coach is still there, beyond me. It's beyond me why he's still there. Black Thor is going with Denver also. All right, so you got...
Yeah, Detroit, I just don't know. If they were at home, maybe. But, yeah, I don't know what Denver's doing either. But I'm going to roll with them. I'm going to roll with them. It's amazing that what Emmanuel Sanders is doing in San Francisco by them letting him go. Crazy. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with Denver.
Yeah, he's Garofalo's kind of like main target. Always finds a way to get open. And Garofalo's like, it's almost like he fell in love with him. Papa's going with Detroit. Don't know why. I don't know. Going with Detroit. And I'm not going to say anything because he gave me his picks after he went to a Bible study. So he probably prayed up right now. Next game on tap is Arizona versus Seattle. I'm going with Seattle on the 12th man. Black is going with Seattle. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, them pray. I'm telling you, they had their little fun last week. Arizona did, that is, so with their big win, but over Cleveland. Russell Wilson's on a mission, bro. They had that number one seed. They had that main seed up there, too. So they're not
mm-hmm.
trying to lose that. Not trying to lose that. So Seattle.
You're right. Pop is going with Seattle also. This should be a good game. It's the battle of the queen of the pigs. Who wants the that division? Dallas versus Philadelphia. I got to go with Philadelphia. The reports that Dak is hurt and they had to rest him. And so he got hurt in the Rams game. And so will he be able to play in this game? But Black Thor is going with Dallas in this game. Who you got, Ice?
Well, it's about who wants it the most. And even if Dak is hurt, you know, I think we're going to bring Wade Wilson out of retirement. He's going to quarterback. So I'm going to go with Dallas.
That's a blast from the past. Yeah. You going with Dallas?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. Who is their backup quarterback?
You.
Oh, I'm going to switch my pick then. Because I'm just going to hand it off to Zeke. That's pretty much it. Zeke all day. Papa's going with Dallas also, so I'm the only one going for Philly next week. Next game on tap is here in Chicago. It's Kansas City versus Chicago. I told everybody that Chicago will be either 7-9, 8-8, or barely 9-7 this year, and nobody in Chicago believed me. And so they faced Green Bay last week. They lost and almost won that game or tied that game with the playground, you know, passing the ball back, trying to get back in the game. They play Kansas City, and then they play Minnesota next week. But I'm going with Kansas City. I think they found something, and they got the momentum a little bit. So I think they will beat Chicago. Even though Chicago tries to run the same offense as Kansas City does it a little bit better. Black is going with Kansas City. Ice, who you got?
Sorry about that. Going with, you had a conference call. Going with Kansas City.
Pop is going with Kansas City, so it's Kansas City across the board. The last game on tap is Green Bay versus Minnesota. I'm going with Green Bay, even though they're playing in Minnesota. Black Thor is going with Minnesota. Who you got, Ice?
Is it Minnesota? You said in Green Bay? In Minnesota?
Green Bay at Minnesota, yep.
I'm going to go with Minnesota.
Oh, wow. Okay. And Pop is going with Green. You changing it?
No, I'm just looking at this. Dallas' backup quarterback is Cooper Rush, who has not thrown a pass all season long. Oh, my God. Wade Wilson, please come to the front. Yes, Wade Wilson.
Pop is going with Green Bay. So top picks. We'll post them up on Twitter and the Goon Squad Facebook page. We'll take a break and come back and talk. So who are we going to talk about next? I think we're going to talk some NCAA football and some of the games that took place last week and some of the other stuff that's happened in NCAA football. We'll take a break and come back right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Does this song by Prince called Come On qualify for the one?
I guess. You've been putting up all kinds of stuff, so I guess. It's a little funky. You done switched all kinds of gears, but a lot of people like how your diversity has been, so a lot different than my style, but that's a good thing. So, yes, it qualifies.
All right, I'll just check it before I find it and post it up. So, yeah, because you like to stay in that Ohio funk, which is not bad. That's where the funk started.
I like a little everything. I mean, you international. I'm not international. You know, I still like Bohannon, instant funk.
Mm-hmm.
You just go a little deeper into it. We got our different styles, and that's okay. That's what people like, and some people like it, but. You know, I saw you made sure that you got that. Trying to think of the one cut real quick. Oh yeah, the fat back band. I like the girls. I saw you threw that up real quick. Make sure I could get it up. I saw you. All right, touche.
Check out our page.
I wonder how that got in our playlist.
I don't know. I think I heard it before somewhere, so threw it up there. I was surprised you didn't put that up there first, because we play that a lot here on the Goose Squad Sports Radio Show. But check out our page, The One, Me, Ice. I put Black Thor on it, too. He hasn't thrown anything on. He don't throw anything on any of the pages. But he's a funk monster, too.
Can I say this, too? How you gonna put Black Thor on there? Ain't no funk coming out of Connecticut. He thinks the Icy Brothers is from Connecticut. The hell? I'm resigning now. Black Thor talking about some funk. R&B, maybe.
He ain't gonna put nothing on there. He ain't gonna put nothing on there.
Look, easy listening. Something like that. What do you know about some funk? I'm resigning, man. I'm done. I told you. I don't want to do it in the first place. I'm done.
Oh, man. All right. Let's talk some NCAA football, man. I think we talked about the four teams that are going to be in it. I don't know if I'm I've been able to – I haven't even checked it out. I didn't even check out the Army-Navy game. There's some controversy about that with some of the cadets, I think, from the Army putting up the white power sign. Have you heard that story?
Yes, I have.
What'd you think about that, bro?
There's always a different way to kind of twist the story. And the sign itself can mean for a lot of things. I don't know. I mean, if they are trying to do it that way, I think it's a shame because what the institution itself represents a lot more than just one race. But I think it's really very technical in regards to what kind of sign they're using, because the sign they're supposedly using is being used by a number of different people. And I had to see it directly, but I had to ask myself, are some other groups in the past use that same sign or the way they're using the sign?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's become very popular because 45 uses it all the time, and maybe that's his little secret code to his constituents or his Trumpsters. I don't know. But I didn't watch the game, but I saw it on, you know, the sports shows, and they were kind of bringing that out. And it's really a damn shame that, you know, you have folks, especially, I know a lot of African-Americans. My father served, your father served, you know, all the stuff they had to go through, and you're still dealing with that today. You're still dealing with that ignorance today. And so I didn't want to go too much into it, but my thing is, when does the ignorance stop? You know, when do you wake up and realize that you don't live in a world where it's just your particular race or your ethnicity? I shouldn't say race, but ethnicity. And so it takes all of us to make this thing work. When do you figure it out? And so that's all I'm going to say about it. If you have something else to say about it, I'm going to leave the floor to you.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And like they say, you know, it's more than one group of people that made this country great, that fought all kind of battles. But depending on who's in charge of your administration, you see how things come back around, and a lot of people are feeling pretty good about themselves because of that factor. But when they were cowards before. So, like I said, I have an issue with groups that hide behind anything. And so hopefully that overall the institution itself kind of throws that out and does not recognize that as any type of sign, because the individuals who truly care about this country and serve the right way deserve better.
Yeah, deserve better, and especially folks of color who comes from different parts of the world, different ethnicities, who put their life on the line so that you can enjoy some of the things you enjoy. It just wasn't one ethnicity. That's all we're saying. There's going to be some good games coming up in the bowl season, and I'm intrigued. Of course, you got Penn State versus Memphis. That should be an intriguing game. You got Florida versus Virginia, Wisconsin versus Oregon. You got Auburn versus Minnesota, the SEC against the Big Ten. Another SEC against the Big Ten. You got Alabama and Michigan. I'm going to name a few of these, and then I'm going to see which ones you're intrigued with. I think this is going to be Notre Dame really doesn't know what they're up against Iowa State. They really have no clue. Iowa State's a good football team. Got Iowa against USC. You got Boise State versus Washington. You got Appalachian State against UAB. You got Cincinnati versus Boston College. You got Navy versus Kansas State. And you have Oklahoma State versus Texas A&M. What are some of the games that you're going to be – I know there are much more games than this because any kind of bowl game you can think of, they have it. But what are some of the games in the top 25, the bowl games that – that teams that are represented in the top 25, you may be interested in?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, as you mentioned, a number of those games are going to have you on the edge of your seat. When I look at it, I think that the Auburn – who's Auburn playing?
Auburn is playing Minnesota.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a good game, simply because Minnesota wants to continue to show that they're worthwhile. They kind of fell off their major test, but this is a great opportunity for them to kind of come back right and show whether or not they're a big-time team. USC versus Iowa. I know USC is barely over 500 to get 500 at all, but they have talent. Their coach has really come – they retain their coach for next year, and – is a great opportunity for USC to show that they're worthwhile, but I think the overall issue may be that Iowa's going to be playing inspired football, particularly with the recent passing of Hayden Fry. So you might see a lot of that coming back around from them playing very inspired. I like that. Penn State and Memphis. A lot of people, Penn State, they received a lot of love early on. But down the stretch, they weren't able to kind of come through the way they wanted to against the bigger teams. But Memphis is not a slouch, and I'm interested
no,
to see
not at all.
Whether or not Memphis can run with Penn State. Of course, Memphis, you beat Cincinnati twice, but are you ready for the big time versus Penn State? I'm excited about that, so I want to see that. Let's see. Florida versus Virginia. Yeah, I think that people are underestimating Virginia. I like Florida. That's in the Capital One Orange Bowl. I think people like Florida because they had the backup quarterback come out and do some great things. But I really believe that Virginia can really cause some problems for them as well. Let's see. Just for giggles, because who knows what the hell is going to happen. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. Florida State versus Arizona State.
I'll be rooting for Arizona State.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying for Herm Edwards, and it's just interesting to see how that plays out. The Alamo Bowl as well, Utah versus Texas. I want to see that because Texas think
that
they still
a
are a decent team, but Utah's still right there, and they can cause some problems. Let's see, besides the bigger ones. Yeah, of course, Michigan versus Alabama. A lot at stake. Go ahead.
You know what I think? If Alabama embarrasses Michigan, Harbaugh needs to look for another job. I mean, because Alabama should be pissed off just enough. They ain't in the playoffs, but they want to play like we should have been in it. And if they embarrass Michigan, I think Harbaugh is on thin ice, and I think he should be looking for another job. If they get beat like 60-something to 3 or 7 or 10, his days are numbered. Seriously. That's my opinion.
Man, why are you always trying to fire all these people? Well, you ready. Boy, I hate to work for you. You throw that hook real quick. What are you doing, man?
Because think about the bowl games. The bowl games are basically you're playing bowl games to entice recruits. So – if you get blown out in a bowl game against Alabama and, you know, a recruit's thinking either I go to Alabama or Michigan, and you see this team gets blown out by Alabama, you're like, why would I go? They stink. Why would I want to go there where I can play for, you know, a team that's really serious about playing football? I mean, what can you tell me as a recruit? You know, well, I saw you stink it up during the bowl game. Really? And some of these guys, some of these teams invite these recruits to the bowl game. So if you get stomped out, I'm not coming here. There ain't nothing you can say to me. So Harbaugh's been on thin ice because he's been there for a long time, Ice, and he hasn't produced. Because I was watching old videotape of him, I think it was like 10 years ago, he was with Stanford. And I'm thinking in my mind while I'm watching it, like, he needed to stay at Stanford. At least he was winning. At least he was in the Pac-12, and they were consistently on, you know, in the running. But with Michigan, it's like it's not happening. It's not happening. Or maybe he should have stayed with San Francisco because he was winning, had his team in the Super Bowl. But this thing with Michigan ain't working. And sometimes it ain't true. You can't always go back home again.
All I'm going to say is 10 wins is 10 wins, bro. I don't know why you get ready to get rid of that man. My only question to you, and I think this is something that I think about, is if they fire him, who are they going to get? It's going to be just as adequate or better. The issue remains the same. Ohio State, Alabama, top-notch teams. Nobody's really beating them unless you're on that next level. That's the same issue. I'm not saying that you can't do it, but my question is they have not proven to this point to this point that they can get somebody else to take them over the hump. Who is that man? And if you don't know that answer, I guess that's my question. If you don't know that answer, right, then you keep doing what you're doing, don't you? 10 wins is 10 wins, isn't it?
So I'm going to throw a name at you, but who wouldn't want to take the Michigan job? That's in the Big Ten. They're going to get the TV coverage. But do you think, and this is going to be like fingernails on a blackboard, Urban Meyer might take that Michigan job if offered?
I got something for you. Hold on, okay?
Not the Dallas Cowboy job, but the Michigan job.
Can you hear that? That's running water.
What's that?
In the wind hill. He's jumping the water. He's jumping the river. Are you kidding me? You kidding me?
Come on, man. Come on.
What would be the incentive?
Is he that loyal to Ohio State that he wouldn't go to Michigan? Is he that loyal? Is the money not green? If they offer him enough money, he's like, you know what? I enjoyed my time at Ohio State, but I'm doing something new here in Michigan.
There's certain things you can't do, and that's one of them, because you know why? His wife was divorced. Carry your ass on over there. I'm done. His wife's from Ohio. Are you kidding me? The only reason why she agreed to another job is because he wanted to come back home, to win for home. You think his wife was upset? He said, I'm not. Hell, ain't no way in hell. She said, I'm barely letting you think about Dallas. Michigan? Hell no. Ann Arbor? No way.
I'm getting you back from the first 40 today. You got me. You got me, Aranda. I got you back. I don't think Urban Meyer. I think Urban Meyer would go play. He would coach for the Dallas Cowboys before he would go anywhere else, to be perfectly honest. I think that would be his move. And it seems like Dallas is courting him too. Would you agree?
I think they're courting him, but I think the Dallas too is scared of a college coach. I think they are. Because, you know, I say that because when they went and got Jimmy Johnson, it took them about 2 to 3 years before they really turned it around. And I'm not sure Jimmy Johnson's in that place right now. Plus, giving up the amount of control would be a problem, I think, for Urban Meyer. I really do. I think he could coach if it was a different scenario. He probably could get it done. If he does do that or is allowed to do that, it won't be for long. He might have a window about 4 years, see if they can try to win it all, and he would bounce. I said that about Ohio State. People thought I was crazy. Oh, he's going to be there for 20 years. I said, nope, once he won that title, and that's approved. He was in the upper echelon and put in the same ranks and the name as in the same graces of Woody Hayes, like Woody Hayes. What else is there? I mean, what championships do you need? I mean, that was it. He came back, brought a championship back to Columbus. The rest of them, none even matter. He just opened up a brand new restaurant and stacked every week. Stacked called the Pine House. It's stacked every week. So,
oh, boy.
Residual income already set up, baby. He ain't got to do nothing. Show up twice. Show up 3 times a year during the football season. Clap, sign some autographs, and say, let's go, Bucks. Money flows in, baby.
All right. So I was just throwing that out there about Urban Meyer, but man, if it happens, boy, I'm going to be the first one you hear from. Well, I don't think it's going to happen either. But, I mean, people have said they, you know, look at Bill Parcells. He coached the Dallas Cowboys after coaching the Giants. I never thought that would happen. Never in a million years thought that a coach of the Giants would go coach the Cowboys.
Let me tell you something. That's like saying Woody Hayes back in the day would coach Michigan. There's a running joke here in Ohio, and people that know Ohio State football, you know, I don't know if you know this, but there was a football game between Ohio State and Michigan back in the day, right? And Ohio State was winning the game. They scored a touchdown, And normally after you score a touchdown, you get to you kick a extra point, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did Woody Hayes do? Woody Hayes went for two, and they scored. They say, Woody, you're up by so many points. Why did you go for two? You know what he said?
Well,
I couldn't go for three.
Touche. That's hate. Wow. Okay. All right. So we'll keep you posted. Actually, we're going to take a couple of weeks off. We'll still post our picks, but we're not going to have the shows on New Year's Day and on Christmas. That would be unfair.
Wait a minute. We got to talk about this. We got to make them playoff picks then. We ain't going to be here. We got to talk about that.
Yeah. We'll stay in contact and we'll keep in contact and post stuff up.
They want to hear what we're doing now. Come on now.
All right. Let's go to where you want to go to, because we can go boxing. Because you know Canelo, he vacates his WBO lightweight heavyweight title. I have my theories why he did it, but I want to get yours. Crawford. You know, he makes easy work of his opponent last week. There were some good fights on ESPN last week. We can go to NBA. We can go NCAA football. We can go to the questions. Where you want to go, bro?
We're here with football. Let's do it. College football. Real quick. The playoffs?
Okay. The college playoffs. Like I said, I think you got LSU. Versus Oklahoma. I think LSU wins that game against Oklahoma. I think LSU's defense is a little bit better than Oklahoma, and I don't think that Oklahoma's defense can really kind of corral LSU. And I hate to do this, but I think Clemson they just barely get by Ohio State. And then you got LSU and Clemson going into playoffs. What's your pick?
I'm going to go with a pick 'em on Ohio State, Clemson.
Okay.
I'm going with a pick 'em, but I have to because I just think they're going to be ready and they got something to prove. And I know you're going to think I'm sounding like a homer. I'm going to choose Ohio State simply because they struggled early on against Wisconsin. They struggled early against Wisconsin. They have a lot to prove. And their defense, if they can get after Lawrence, quarterback for Clemson, then I think they got a chance against Clemson. I think it's going to be one hell of a game, but I would not count Ohio State out, and I'm going to roll with them. I think it's their year. They have a lot to prove, and I think they're going to be tuned in, so I'm going to choose Ohio State. But I could see Clemson. I could also see Clemson winning, but I'm going to choose Ohio State. And the other game, I'm going to choose LSU, but I'm going to tell you this. I think that game is going to be a lot closer, and I'm not – this is strictly for entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, so I'm not saying you should spend any money on gambling at all, but I will. Anyway, Oklahoma gets 14 points against LSU. I think that's ludicrous. I think that's 14 points. So they're basically thinking this is going to be a blowout. Joe Burrow won the Heisman, rightfully so. He earned it, no doubt about it. But LSU, to me, has not really been on that larger stage. On the big time stage, they beat Alabama team with an injured Tua, and this is the opportunity they're going to show up. And I think people just think that Jalen Hurts, they don't realize that this is a guy that I don't know if he lost to LSU when he's at Alabama. So this is a guy that knows what it's like. You have a great mind in Lincoln Riley. I think it's going to be a lot more difficult for LSU than most. And then I think the winner of LSU and the winner of Ohio State Clemson wins the national championship. That I think is going to happen. Even if LSU wins, I think the winner of the LSU of Clemson, Ohio State, is the national champion over LSU or whoever may make it. LSU.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think I kind of think that the reason why I say Clemson, I think Clemson edges out Ohio State. I like Ohio State. I really do like Ohio State. But I think Clemson has a lot more weapons than Ohio State. Clemson is not going to allow you to make mistakes and then try to come back. They're not going to. They're not Wisconsin. They're not that slow rolling kind of deep, run in 3 yards in a cloud of dust and, you know, kind of hold on to the end kind of team. Clemson keeps coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. And once they get you down, they're going to. And I think they got something to prove because everybody all year has been saying about Clemson, they haven't had a tough schedule. And I think they got a chip on their shoulder that they are a defending champion. They played the folks that were put in front of them. They had a close call against Carolina, but since then they've been playing lights out. They've been averaging like beating teams by 30, 34 to 35 points a pop, which tells me that defense is sharp and alert now. In that offense with NTM, with the quarterback and those receivers, those tall receivers, I don't know if Ohio State, even though they always have, you got that New Orleans team that has Ohio State defensive backs. I don't think these Ohio State Buckeye defensive backs can hang with some of those receivers and that tight end in that passing game of Clemson. I don't think they hang with them the whole game. And so that's why I think Clemson could edge them out. And Clemson's defense is underrated. To me, and they've been underrated all season. But I really like it. You know, if Ohio State won, I wouldn't be mad at it at all. But LSU and Oklahoma, I just don't trust Oklahoma's defense. And I don't know if they're going to be ready to go up against that offense. I know that sometimes when the Heisman Trophy winner comes in and you're playing against them, you have a extra kind of energy to go after him and prove that he wasn't all that, but and if you put LSU and Clemson together, I still would have to go with Clemson, unless Dabo does something really bonehead to really kind of the play calling and they make a lot of mistakes. I like LSU. This is the first time in a long time that I actually like every team in the playoff. It's something I like about every team. But only one team can win. But if LSU got in there with Ohio State, it'll be an enjoyable game. If they got in there with Clemson, it'll be an enjoyable game. And it would be good to see somebody else win other than Clemson or Alabama. But I think Clemson's a strong team, and I think they got a lot to prove. I think that they felt like they got snubbed because everybody says they had an easy schedule. And I think they're just going to come out blazing. Any other thoughts about the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's interesting. I just don't think people are paying attention to the Jalen Hurts factor. And everybody wants to give Burrow all his love. And I think he's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he's led the program down that's been trying to do this for years. And I take nothing from that. But when you come down to the four, Jalen Hurts has been there. Lincoln Riley's been there. And LSU, can they do this against top-notch talent? I'm not sure about that. And I think Vince Young said it best back in the day. You can have the trophy, but we're going to take what matters. That's the title. I think this is going to be very interesting. Because what happens if, also, too, with Coach O, can Coach O handle the situation when it get tight? He sees his team is down and Joe Burrow is forced to throw the ball. The other thing, too, is has anybody tried to put true pressure on Joe Burrow? If Clemson defense is that defense and they're decent, and you know if they play Ohio State, Chase Young is coming, baby.
Yeah.
Chase Young's coming. So
I think Alabama tried. Alabama tried, but they just couldn't get to them.
They're going to be really tested, and then we're going to see. I just need to see. If Clemson wins it, they're going to earn it, and I take my hat off of them to them, but I still didn't think they need to prove it to me that they are capable of winning the national championship. I don't believe that yet. That's just me.
This is the first time, if you notice, it's the first time I said I haven't said they need an 8-game playoff. These are the four best teams in the country. These are the four best teams in the country, and if any one of these teams win, they deserve to win. I mean, I'm happy with these four teams. So I haven't said. Usually every year I'm like, oh, there needs to be eight game playoff. Not this year. Not this year. I think the committee did a great job. These teams earned it, and it wasn't. And I think whoever made the schedule set it just right, because up until that last week, you just didn't know, because you had Georgia that was in the running, Alabama was creeping on the outside, and then bam, after LSU beat Georgia, and then Ohio State almost did a misstep with Wisconsin, but got in there. Every team deserved to be in there. So I am not mad if one of these teams win a national championship. It's well deserved. I'm happy just to watch this football season with college football. It's like my favorite time of the year. This is March Madness. This is it for me. You can have the Super Bowl and all that other stuff. Give me college bowl season and the number one game, and give me March Madness, and I'm happy. So this is the first time. I don't know if you feel the same way. I feel like these teams deserve to be there, and we're going to see some good football with these teams. And whoever wins it, and I'll be happy. And I know you kind of have a little I'm not saying you're a homer. I'm not saying that. But I know you'll be rooting for Ohio State more than everybody else.
Well, I am an alumnus. So, I mean, not just
– Yeah, I know.
You know, it's not like I just kind of – oh, they're from Ohio. I mean, I'm a alum. But I also am just looking at it from that standpoint that I think this season, I think you're absolutely right. All the teams that had an opportunity, they had an opportunity to decide their own fate. You look at Baylor.
Yes.
You look at Utah. They had the opportunity.
Yep.
Oregon. They all had opportunities to control their own destiny. Even when Notre Dame was running for a while, they had their opportunity to create their own destiny, and they failed. So you can't blame anybody else but yourselves.
Nope.
And I think Alabama is really frustrated by that. But then again, they lose to Auburn, so that took care of that too. So everybody had the opportunity. So you can't say, oh, they cheated us. They left us out. No, you had your shot. You didn't finish it. That's up to you. That's on you in regards to what happened.
And you didn't hear – I didn't hear, like, that argument back, like, different fans from different college teams saying, oh, we should have been there. You didn't hear that this year, and that's great. You didn't hear that this year. It was like everybody's like, okay, it is what it is. Let's watch some good football at this particular time. Let's go to boxing, man, because I won't get some time with this. Of course, Crawford, I got to see that fight, and Crawford handled his business. But old boy was catching him. I think he rocked him a couple of times, and they didn't call one a knockdown, but I thought that was a knockdown. But what do you have to say about Crawford, man? Because I know last week we talked about it, and I said Crawford got to get away from Bob Arum, and he's got to come out of Nebraska. He did one of the two, fought in Madison Square Garden, and I think that did him a good service, because he was able to get down and get dirty and take some shots and give some shots, and might have played to a crowd that normally doesn't watch him when he's fighting in Nebraska. And he says, hey, I want to take on the top fighters. And I think I would love to see him and Errol Spence, even though my boy Eddie says that he doesn't think Errol Spence is going to fight him, because he doesn't think Errol Spence is going to fight anymore, and that he might be more hurt than he's letting on with that accident. But let's talk about the Crawford fight first. What do you think about that fight?
Well, I think he tried to prove a point, which kind of blew me away. What I was hearing from him was, his corner was telling me one thing, and they're saying he was trying to do another. And I'm like, why would your corner, first of all, come out and tell you how to go southpaw? And mm-hmm. then that's what he did, which when he did that, it allowed his opponent to kind of come forward and do a lot of different things. And then he kind of got rocked in the third round. It's almost like he was trying to prove himself, similar to what Floyd Mayweather did when he fought, wow, my goodness. Trying to think of the other gentleman. When he fought a fight against a guy, nobody said he would fight. And he stood toe-to-toe with him. Cannot think of his name. I can see it. Cotto. I'm sorry. When he fought Miguel Cotto.
Okay.
Where you kind of go stand toe-to-toe instead of boxing. But, no, I mean, he earned it, right? He won. And he's very talented. But he knows it. And in regards to Crawford, I mean, in regards to Spence not fighting anymore, I think he needs to take his time. I think it will be a while. But if he's healthy, I think he'll fight again. He's going to try it.
Okay.
I'm sure he will get some tune-ups in the gym before he calls it quits. He'll find out whether or not he should get back in there. This is going to take a long time. Might be even over a year before he gets back in. But Crawford knows what's going on. He has to fight the PBC fighters. He just does. And if he wants to fight somebody, he can. He just has to tell Bob Arum, I want this fight. And they have to make it work. Even though they may not agree with PBC and how they do business, and he wants to see that fight. And the fight that people are talking about, but this lets me know this may be closer than people may think. The fight is Terrence Crawford versus Sean Porter. And they're good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him about that fight, and he came out and said, look, we are good friends. We made a pact a few years ago, that we wouldn't fight. He said, but we will make the fight, not PBC, not Bob Arum, not anyone. And we decide that's what we want to do, we will make it happen. And that's what they're going to do. So I think right now that probably would be his best fight. You have some other guys that he could fight, like Danny Garcia, but I think Danny Garcia comes out slow, he would get pummeled. I don't think Keith Thurman wants anything to do with that dude, Terrence Crawford. I don't think so. Now that's the guy wanting how long much longer Keith Thurman wants to fight. I'm not sure how much.
I don't think he wants to fight anymore. I think he wants to do commentating. I don't think he wants to fight anymore. He'll be the next Tim Bradley.
right. So
which he is a horrible
said,
commentator.
Yeah, so I think Crawford is there's some opportunities out there, but I think he's going to have to just kind of man up and say, tell Bob Arum, hey, this is what I want to do, and you better make it happen. You know, because he is his marquee guy. And if he wants to keep him, when that man says it's similar to when Pacquiao was with Bob Arum. When he told him what he wanted to do, they had to make it happen. He has that kind of power. I hope he does, because he's run out of fighters. Unless he goes up there talking about there's a possibility he could go to junior middle and fight. There's a top ranked boxer that will fight him, but I'm like, that's just for the history type situation. But if you really want the people to respect you, you know where the fighters are. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Yeah. And Carnelo, he vacates his WBO light heavyweight title. I think he's doing this because there are no big-time money fights in that weight division. Who else is going to fight to get the money that he's used to getting? And I think he's coming to the realization that he got to fight I don't want to say the Charlo brothers, the lion kind of thing, because they coined that, but he got to fight the lions in boxing in order to get the money and get the reputation as this great fighter. He's ducking a lot of people, in my opinion. Your thoughts about Canelo vacating the WBO?
Well, I agree with you. I think that moving up to get that title was about a history thing. He wanted his legacy. He wants to kind of he wants his name to be alongside some of the other greats who've done the same thing. But as you mentioned, the money fights are lower, so he's going to come down to middleweight or junior middle. And then, of course, you got guys like Demetrius Andre. Julian Williams, like that. And there's so many number of them. You have the Charlos as well. And there's so many other fights. And then, of course, there's always Triple G, always going to be lurking around somewhere. But there's a lot of fighters in that area, and that's how he's going to make his money if he's not afraid. I mean, because you can totally bounce around so much, but these are guys that are decent size. It might be tougher opponents because some of them are younger, but if he really wants to be the great champion that he wants to be recognized as for his time, then it's time for him to get in the ring against some of these top-notch guys. as you mentioned, these younger lions. Like we had a great fight coming up. I think this Saturday is between the one of Charlo's versus versus Harrison. That rematch is gonna be
hella
fight.
That's a fight to watch.
That's on the 21st. So it's things like that. But if Canelo wants to quit playing around, he wants this money. I think 2020, he knows he's gonna have to come in and fight somebody of some substance because there's enough fighters out there that will try to at least give him the business. Question is whether or not he's up for the challenge and quit skirting around. It's amazing how he's skirting around and picking his fights nicely, but they crucified Floyd Mayweather for doing the same thing. He just following Floyd's lead.
Talking about Floyd, Floyd's talking about coming back, man. You think this is serious?
Man, I'm done. It's kind of like when Jordan came back to the Wizards, man. Floyd needs to lay down somewhere and go on and quit playing around.
He may be laying down somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know, if you fight, well, I think that you notice he's trying to, if he's talking to Dana White, he's going to try to see where he can box some UFC fighters who really are not boxers.
Right.
But you try to get in there. Imagine him at this point of his career trying to face a Bud Crawford. It might be very difficult.
Nah.
Yeah, and Errol Spence was already in him. I was already in the gym with him back in the day, so I don't think that would ever happen. So, yeah, I think Floyd realizes that his days pretty much are numbered. But, you know, the only thing I would say is so many people are excited about when they hear his name. I tell you what I'd like to see just for the hell of it. Everybody been talking about it. Let's get it out the way. One fight I would like to see Floyd Mayweather fight. If he came back, let's stop the BS. Let's see if I pack y'all one more time.
People
watch it. I'll watch it again. Yeah, hell yeah. Oh, yeah, especially Pacquiao at 40 and he's won. He beat Keith Thurman one more time. No hurt shoulder, no whatever. Mano a mano, and they think Floyd lost.
I don't think his shoulder was hurt.
Well, I'm just saying. He said it was. So we're going to give him that. Because he came back, he beat Keith Thurman. Nobody thought that. Keith Thurman was running his mouth, talking about he's going to destroy the legend. Legend got beat. What's the next step? Let's fight Floyd. I watch it. I go watch it again too.
I'm not watching him and Pacquiao fight though. I'm not doing it. I'm not watching because
okay.
I was gonna ask you about Canelo and Triple G. I don't think that's ever gonna happen. But if it did, I wouldn't watch that either.
I'm more with the young lions.
Yeah, I'm more with the young lions, man. I want to see Crawford and Spence. I want to see Porter and Crawford. I want to see the Charlo brothers going up against these young lions. There was one fighter who won last Saturday. He's talking about Lomachenko because Lomachenko was in the audience. He was like, "Yeah, I want you next. I took care of this guy. I took his belt. Now I'm coming after you." So I want to see these young lions, man, and make a name for themselves because I think you know we grew up in an age where we saw a lot of fighters stay beyond where they should have stayed in boxing. And, you know, when you start talking about Pacquiao, even though I thought he did great against Thurman don't want to fight no more. He ain't got it. I think Spence took the heart out of him and Porter took the heart out of him. And so I don't think he wants to fight anymore. And so all these fighters who want to be commentators, fine. Move out the way and let the young lions come in and do what they need to do. But what really got me, man, is the fighter with the from Ghana and how he got beat, man. And I was teasing my buddy. He's from Ghana. I'm like, why do you get these African guys who come over here, they get comfortable, and then they get knocked out? Like Dog Bay. They get comfortable over here, and they get knocked out. Maybe you need to keep them hungry so they don't get knocked out when they come over to the United States and get felt.
Easy to do, man.
Yeah, man.
Ruiz
won the belt, you know, and couldn't stop eating and get slaughtered by Joshua. Like,
see, that's why I always said.
Who the handlers?
I tell you what, that's what I always said. If you're gonna do that and eat your way out of a title, you might as well wait all 364 days and get all everything you can, get everything free and all the compliments.
Yeah, just wait a year, right?
Just wait a year, get fat as hell, and do what you do, and get all your money, get all your endorsements that the champion can get. And then if you lose, you should be set for a year. Free car washes,
wow.
Everything. I mean, you just go, hey, champ, Hey, you know, you go wherever you go. Hey, champ.
Cereal commercial.
Yeah, dog. Hey, champ.
Hey. Coca-Cola. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Popeyes.
You like my chicken sandwich? This is the champ. For my lashes, my eyelashes are beautiful. This is the champ. I got beautiful nails. You should get your nails done, too. This is the champ. Get your feet done. At Mrs. Johnson, hair and chicken shack. you can't do no wrong with the champ, baby. You have a way to every other word. You might as well use it. There you go. Slow go, baby. Slow go.
Yeah, man, because it's like, oh, T-Lo's like, how come these African guys come over here, they hungry? You think they're going to just be world beaters, man? They get a title and just get knocked out the next fight, man. Come on, man. Come on. But anyway, it should be some good fights coming up at towards the end of the year. The Charlo and Harrison fight. Harrison couldn't fight because he got injured for the rematch, but that's going to be one hell of a fight. And Harris always he has this this saying that I heard it from him, and I give him credit for it. He said, the jab is the key to the kingdom. So let's see if he used that jab to get the key to the kingdom to take out Charlo again. But it should be one hell of a fight because it seemed like he froze Charlo in that first fight. What do you think is going to happen in this fight, man?
Yeah, well, Harrison's a hell of a fighter. The only thing I say about him is, and why some people, even myself, question whether or not he won the fight, is because he did enough to stay away and he frustrated Charlo, but we didn't see enough mm-hmm. significant punches for him to win. But this time, I think he's like, you know what? I think he really believes, one, he's not afraid of Charlo. Two, he believes that
right.
he's the better fighter. And he said, you talk a lot, but you don't do a lot. So I think Charlo has a lot to prove, but there are a lot of instances that he waited too late to move. He needed to be first. So I think Charlo should come in more ready. And know that if he wants to win this title, he's going to put hands on Harrison. And Harrison's from Detroit. I like what he did.
Yeah.
He says, you know, it's the Lions versus the Tigers. So you're like, look, I'm a Detroit Tiger. He came in with his orange. And he's very proud to be from Detroit. And he's a tough, no-nonsense
right.
guy. He's not afraid of anybody. So I think it's going to be one hell of a fight. But I get right now, I get an edge to Charlo because if he loses, it just kind of puts him in a bad place. This is an opportunity for him to get his title back and get back on top and maybe get another shot at another top contender. The other part, too, is I want to see what happens with Triple G because now that if Canelo doesn't want to fight you anymore, you where are you going to run to? You can only run too many places. That's your biggest fight. But there's some of those young lions, as you call them, that are available and want to fight you, Triple G. Question is, are you too old? Are you scared? Are you picking your fights? Because, you know, one of those, if you fight one of those guys outside of Canelo, then your career could be shaky and be up in the air. Are you too old now? So they have to be very careful who they select him to put him in the ring with. That's going to be very interesting to see what his next fight is.
True. We got about 6 minutes left, man. Any questions that you want to bring to the table?
Yeah, I guess one of the questions I want to think about is the way that we did this AAU. No, not even AAU. I'm going to throw this out. I was having a chance to go to watch LeBron's son, Bronny, play, junior player in Columbus, Ohio. And why is it that some people are enamored with athletes, they love them, but then there are so many haters when an athlete shows you that he's just trying to be a dad? When LeBron got a chance to see his son play for the first time in person in high school, and so many people just gave him the business, telling him he needed to sit down, and he was just showing enthusiasm about his son and chartered a plane the whole nine, but people were hating so strongly on LeBron.
That's kind of a hard one for me, man, because sometimes it seems like LeBron is always trying to do the most. And to me, it's like I'll give you this example. I made a little name for myself here in Chicago, and what I do about writing and things of that sort and comedy and all that. But I have a chance every now and then to see my son perform. And I make it a point not to make it about me. Sometimes I'll go and I won't even let him know I'm there until the last minute. And I want him to shine. I want him to make a name for himself. I want him to, you know, get all the attention. And so I'm not there, you know, hooping and hollering like, yeah, that's my boy and all that other stuff, because I just want to enjoy the performance. I want to enjoy him enjoying himself doing what he loves to do. And so I'm not going to be there doing the most. Even if he was, on a football field or basketball court, I just want to enjoy him doing what he enjoys doing. So sometimes when he's jumping up and he's yelling and all that other stuff, sometimes I kind of think that he's just doing the most. And maybe he didn't get that. I guess his mother did that for him, and that's all he knows. But sometimes I don't think he realized that he's LeBron James, and anything his son is doing, if he does something, more people are coming there not to see his son, but to see him watching his son. It's almost like, remember in boxing where Don King was telling his fighter, it's like, you know, you can leave if you want to, but there are more people here to see Muhammad Ali watch a fight than watching you. So sometimes it's like, you know, be humble, you know, enjoy yourself. Know that other people are there to enjoy the game, and other people are there enjoying their kids seeing the game. And you won't always have to be doing the most. And maybe you are excited, but make it about him instead of about you.
I mean, I see that point of view, but and I'm watching that game and where he came from and the situation, not having his dad around. Randy, he could be up on the booth. Maybe that's where he should be. But I never would ever put down a person for being excited about their kid. I was watching my nephew play basketball literally last night. I went to his game. We've been talking about working on his game and being better and him struggling with getting playing time. And we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, and he didn't even start. But the games he played, the plays he made last night, literally helped his team win this game. And they played a very good team. And he came up to me and was like, yeah. And I'm like, you can do this. You just had – so I understand what he's dealing with. And then literally while we're sitting in here and we're still talking, my nephew sent me a text, say, hey, Unc, you come to the game tomorrow? That's real, man. It may not always be, you know what I'm saying? It may not be for people to see, but that chemistry, bro, and you knew these young people are excited and they're motivated by just your presence, and maybe you should take a back seat, but I'm not mad at any man that's excited about coming to charter a plane to see his son play, man. When he really didn't have to or he couldn't really be there, they made that possible. So it's not like he's at every game. So I think people need to calm the hell down, let that man enjoy your son. I get what they said, but let that man just be a dad, man, because there's so many kids out there wish their damn dad was around or had a dad.
True that. I understand both sides. We got 2 minutes left. We're going to end it right here. Thanks for hanging out with us. All the folks that hit me personally, emails on our pages, thank you. It's been a great year. We always have a good time doing this. We love talking sports. We will see you next year. Any parting shots for the folks this year? This is our last show of the year. So any parting shots?
Yeah, no doubt. First of all, thank you, brother, for making this possible. I love being doing this. You know, I said I was in retirement, but you pulled me back. You always pulled me out of some mothball. So I appreciate you. Much love to you, brother. And just the people in general, thank you. You just don't know. Y'all might think we're playing or joking. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. We're not always right. We don't claim to be. We like to have fun and enjoy it and try to deliver you something that's entertaining as well. So we hope that you appreciate it. We love all you guys. Please just interact with us and tell us how we can be better, something else you want to know about or some more subjects. Please write us notes. Let us know. Check us out on The One as well, man. That's part of my passion. I love music as well. So y'all know that funk. Come get this because I'm telling you. We'll take you to a place you've never been before. So I just thank everyone for listening and everything, man. I'm just so happy, and we are so blessed to be able to connect this way and with so many people that are paying attention. So thank you, guys. Love you. Thank you.
All right. See everybody next year. Peace.
She's here, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, thank you very much. Granny, they're expecting you. You're a little late, so come right this way. Come right in. Okay?
What? Say it now.
Yes.
Say it now. Yes. Me and the Ohio Player's gonna tell you about a worm. He's the funkiest worm in the world. Okay, say it, fellas.
There's a worm in the ground, yes it is.
That's right.
Yes, of course.
We do? Okay.
Yes.